two Arabs for every Jew.
None of them could have guessed the way it would end, because even though there were hundreds of people in the room at the time of the murder, and even though Nosair was arrested with the murder weapon in his hand, he was found not guilty of Tahana's murder. After the verdict, a triumphant William Kunstler was carried around the courthouse on the shoulders of Nosair's supporters. But more important than the trial and the not guilty verdict was what was happening outside the courtroom.
There was a demonstration of Kahana Chai on one side, and on the other side, the Arab protesters on behalf of Nosair.
Guzovsky and Kahana Chai did more than demonstrate. They never trusted the Arabs around the Sheikh's two mosques. They knew Nosair himself had ties to the two mosques, so they did some investigating, and they did more. They photographed.
Here we have Ibrahim El Gabrami is holding a sign against the motto, another one of the plots of this terrorist network. Here we see Salama over here. Nibal Ayad is, they believe, to be the one of the masterminds behind the World Trade Center bombing.
The faces of accused bombers. Guzovsky's cameras found them outside the Nosair trial 2 years before the World Trade Center bombing. To them, it proved there was a plot to kill Kahana, that Nosair was not a lone gunman.
We feel that the American authorities knew about the Kahana assassination plot before it happened, that they were quite happy with it happening, and there's a lot that the government wants to cover up here.
Guzovsky and his group were not the only ones who didn't believe the official story.
We sat down with the intelligence division of the police department and told them that this was not a lone gunman, that this was a conspiracy that had to be controlled, because if they didn't control it now, sometime in the future, there would be great tragedy.
For lawyer Barry Slotnick, the murder of his friend was more than just another case. For 3 years, Barry Slotnick has been telling authorities the Sheikh was connected to Kahana's murder, that the Sheikh was dangerous, that the rabbi's murder was just the beginning.
I believe that they went to the mosque and they made a deal, and I said, no more fooling around. No more. We'll forgive you for this one, if you did it, but no more. That's the terrible truth. That's the tragedy of what may have occurred.
Slotnick's warnings fell on deaf ears. The authorities wouldn't or couldn't listen. In light of new evidence, Slotnick now believes he understands why.
Apparently, there was high-level protection of the Sheikh, and I believe, based upon all the logical conclusions, that you come forward with one result, that it was in return for what had occurred in Afghanistan, that his protection came from the CIA, and that it was crystal clear that he had worked as an operative, or at least in conjunction with the CIA.
Now, 3 years late, the police have finally linked the World Trade Center bombers with Kahana's murder. The Sheikh himself was named in an indictment in the newly reopened Kahana case. It's what people like Barry Slotnick have been saying all along.
I was a Cassandra who was screaming into the wind, talking about conspiracy, talking about plots, talking about the future, talking about how these people could realistically wreak havoc, and no one wanted to listen.
True believers who told a tale no one would listen to, until now. Pictures of the accused World Trade Center bombers, then unknown cab drivers and menial workers, supporting their friend, El Said Nosair, at his trial. It seems like everybody is here. Everybody except the star of the show, the Sheikh. Who is this mysterious blind Sheikh that he can inspire such loyalty? Where does he come from? Is he on the CIA's payroll? And if not, then how did he get into America? When we come back. The Sheikh, the rabbi, and the CIA, three political forces, all three operating in the closed and secret world of conspiracy. What ties them together? What links them to the bombing at the Twin Towers? At the center is the Sheikh, a charismatic blind preacher whose followers will do anything for him. As arrest followed on arrest in the bombing investigation, a common denominator surfaced. All the suspects were Muslims who originally came from the Middle East and worshipped a blind leader from Cairo, Omar Abdel Rahman. In America, their adopted homes were in Brooklyn or Jersey City, just across the Hudson River from Manhattan. Sheikh Rahman, who preached there, is a celebrity in the Muslim world. Cassette tapes of his voice preaching the downfall of America flow out of his mosques in New York and reach across the Arab world. Who was he? How did he get into America?
The first time the Sheikh appears on the radar screen in Egypt and the United States was in 1978, when he was living in Cairo and orchestrated a violent riot against Coptic Christians living in Cairo. A few years later, he was arrested and tried, along with many others in Egypt, for the assassination of Anwar Sadat.
The blind sheikh was acquitted of Sadat's killing, but his followers were convicted and executed. The sheikh left Egypt under pressure and wound up in Afghanistan as one of the leaders of the Muslim guerrilla movement that fought the Russians in that country. And that was where the sheikh and the CIA first crossed paths. It was an unholy marriage. But the Arabs have a saying, "The enemy of my enemy is my friend." America wanted the Russians to lose the war in Afghanistan. So America armed and trained its own sworn enemies, including Sheikh Rahman, to fight the Russians.
We've trained these Afghans, and we've supplied them with equipment, and obviously we've trained them on how to handle, prepare, and use explosives and weaponry in a very devastating and deadly manner.
When the Sheikh set up a recruiting center in America for volunteers to fight the Russians, the CIA allowed it to operate. Meantime, the U.S. government was channeling hundreds of millions in heavy weapons into the hands of the Muslim fighters in the CIA-run training camps in Pakistan, just across the Khyber Pass from Afghanistan.
I was involved in the program. I have many years of experience in Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan. I've traveled across to Afghanistan a couple of times with meeting with tribesmen and photographing Soviet military installations.
Gene Wheaton knows what he's talking about. He says that when our CIA trains guerrilla fighters in some remote part of the world, the spies say they're teaching the fighters tradecraft. But the public knows it by another name.
It's all criminal activity. It's smuggling across borders. It's counterfeiting. It's bribing government officials. It's assassinations. It's terrorist acts as we would see them.
Some of the accused bombers of the World Trade Center spent months and years fighting the Russians in Afghanistan. Were they trained by the CIA to make bombs and blow up buildings, to sneak across international borders and assassinate people? Did we teach them how to blow us up?
Trade Center bombing was a very professional job. Amateurs would not have had the logistics and planning capability and the ability to move across borders and passports and false documents that are part of the trade craft of the intelligence community without some high-level backing.
With the war won and the Russians defeated, thousands of guerrilla fighters were left with no war to wage and no homes. Some of them had ties to America. Some of them hated America. Some of them came here and brought their killing skills with them. It happens after every war. They call it the problem of disposal.
And once you train a cadre of young revolutionaries, the adrenaline in these people's blood and the thrill of the thing and just the expertise in it makes them not want to go home and run the equivalent of a 7-Eleven store. They want to continue their trade. You cut them to be international criminals. And there is no way of taking it back once you taught them how to do this.
But of all the Afghan war veterans to enter the United States, none was more dangerous than a small, middle-aged blind man, Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman.